It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
My job is to try to get us to a championship. That's all I care about. Because remember, when they fired Tibbs, what they said in their PR statement that they put out, and that was, we're all about championships, and I'm paraphrasing. We want to win a championship, and the reason we essentially fired the coach is we don't think he can get us there.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
High noon, Jones and Keith here on WEEI. Get to your phone call, 617-779-7937. We tiered off AFC wide receivers. Check it out at Jones and Keith on Twitter and Instagram. We do tiers every Tuesday. We call it Tier Tuesday. We also talk to Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, high noon every Tuesday. We call it a Tommy Tuesday. He's brought to you by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. Tom E. Curran, how are we doing this week? Hopefully better than the football team week one.
Everything's fine. I'm fine. They're fine. Everything's going to be fine.
Are you the meat? Were you the dog meme? Is that what you are in the fire? Is that what you are you doing that?
Yeah. It's so good. It's a game. It's the 29th best team in the league losing to like the 28th best team in the league from last year. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but I
we
feel
gotta,
like
we gotta get my, we gotta realize
Tom.
Yeah,
but don't you, but Tom, but don't you as and everybody else have to realize that the expectation is this will not be the 29th best team in the league this year. They should be a lot better than that, right?
One would think. How many minutes of football have you seen so far?
60. 60. Well, I watched like 58. 50. I turned it off.
He checked out.
I went to red zone. Yeah.
See, that's actually what I'm talking about today. You know, we do our show emails. You come on the shows, and there is the difference between urgency and panic. And I'm wondering how well the Patriots are going to negotiate that, because I'm feeling a little bit of panic that we heard from Mike Vrabel to an extent. And it's not panic. It's not, he's not exuding it, but you need more data on Drake May to know whether or not you need to start taking things off his plate. You need more data from a guy who played 26 college games compared to Jaden Daniels, 55, who's 22 years old. You knew he was young when you drafted him. You knew he was raw. As Bill Belichick said, he needs more work than anybody else in terms of fundamentals when Bill was in the media. If you monkey with him too much, you're going to turn him into Sam Darnold. So on Monday after the first game, when he had moments of competency and the team threw for more gross passing yards than at any time since the 2023 opener against the Eagles, yeah, be concerned. And definitely have a problem with him dropping the friggin' ball. That wasn't a strip sack. And have a problem with him walking into a sack on Will Campbell, and have a problem with him overthrowing people. But say, we're going to get through this. Not, we're going to get this. It's too much on him. So yes. It's a very hard spot they're in.
Well, and that was a pretty easy question to answer. I mean, Keith said it earlier, just say, no, we don't have too much on his plate. Like, that was an easy one to shoot down. So clearly he's somewhat concerned about it. Phil asked the question, which I thought was interesting. Like, I wonder what he's heard and what you've heard, but it sounds like you don't, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, you don't think there's too much on his plate, though, initially.
I'm just observing. I mean, honestly, Phil asked the question, you said you wonder what he's heard. I mean, honestly, I think that we observe and go to the press conferences. There's not a whole mess of – they don't know what they have either yet. So we're not getting a whole ton of stuff yet from the team. And when we do talk to people, it's like generally mirrors what we see. I don't think there's too much on his plate, but that's not for me to decide. You know, if you go into this week and say, well, Josh, we don't want as many audibles, which I think is a – totally separate conversation as to whether or not you need to scrutinize the very accomplished play caller publicly like that and how well he's going to react. Let's not do audibles. Let's just run the play. Second and 12, and Josh is going to look over and go, okay, now we're in second and 12, and we're just exactly the same place we were in. So is that the answer? That's stuff for them to decide. But this is what they signed up for when they took him with the third overall pick, a guy who needs a lot of development.
Did you read Vrabel's response as more of a, hey, maybe Drake May should be able to figure it out better, or Josh McDaniels needs to better cater the offense to him? Like, who is it do you think it was directed more at?
I think it's directed more at, you have the ability to audible. Josh gives you that ability to audible because he's your coach. You're audibling. I don't know. I mean, who decides that he's going to audible? Obviously, it's a look. Mm-hmm. But once the 15 seconds comms shut off, it's on him. Now, is May really seeing something that I really ought to audible out of this? Is he doing it by the book as he's supposed to? Is he allowed to veer if he feels something might work? I look at him and he's got a very busy brain. I think that May does. You can almost see it by the way he plays the position and by the way he communicates verbally. He's a busy brain guy. So I don't know who you tell to stop audibling or if you just plow through and let him learn the position. I mean, the game, I'll say this, every single player says the game slows down for them as they get better. The game, I think, is still going 100 miles an hour.
Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, every Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. You mentioned you observe as you're down there. So what have you observed or even heard when it comes to May, McDaniels, Vrabel, that marriage? How would you describe it?
I think it's good. I didn't have a problem with the McDaniels comment last week in which he said, I think we're trying to get him to understand what we're doing. I didn't think that that was read a little bit too literally. I think that all you can ask if you're the coaches from May is that you're trying. That you're trying to understand it, that you're putting the time in, et cetera. You can't ask an individual to be different. And you can only ask them to try as hard as they can. And I don't think there's any level of dissatisfaction with the amount of trying. But in the same way you have to wait for Christian Gonzalez's hamstring to heal, you also have to exhibit patience with an individual's ability to master what you're asking them to do. And I wonder if, you know, a couple weeks ago, Greg Bedard had criticized May's fundamentals and said he was getting sloppy and he's regressed and he might be worse than he was when he got here. And I strongly disagreed with that. Now I see what he's talking about. He's nowhere near as bad as he was when he got here with fundamentals. But his fundamentals were pretty sloppy on Sunday. Wide open, even on the touchdown pass. He's wide open to the target. And he might have had to throw it that way with touch, but, you know, the fundamentals on some of the throws, the decision-making on some of the throws, not just the pick. And I still don't understand how you drop the friggin' ball. And that's not gotten as much attention as I think it should. That wasn't a strip sack. That was a flat fumble. He didn't get touched before the ball came out. So he has to slow down, and they have to be patient with him over the course of time. The question, too, as to how McDaniels and Vrabel are doing, I don't have any intel that it's not great, but I look at Vrabel specifically scrutinizing and theorizing about we got to run the ball more. We got to be stubborn when we get to the line sometimes and not look for perfect. And we might have to take more off of Drake's plate. Those are all salvos at the offensive decisions being made. Josh is a prideful guy. He's got a lot of accomplishments. Is he comfortable with being singled out or questioned publicly after the first game? So maybe Vrabel doesn't see it as such, and maybe McDaniel says that's what he's supposed to do. He's at the podium. He's being honest. And maybe not, but it's going to require people to put their egos in their pockets to get where you want to go.
Well, yeah, speaking of being comfortable and egos and everything else, Josh McDaniels also looking around the other offensive coaches and being like, these are all Vrabel guys. Because every single one of them was is coached with Vrabel in the past, and they all have different positions on the staff. That's going to be a little bit of a different thing for McDaniels that he's used to.
Yeah, and he's tried to be open, and, you know, everybody's happy in May, June, and July, and he tried to incorporate different things from different people. But again, I'd say it's 60 minutes. It's just 60 minutes of football, and we have 6 days until the next game, so we are going to scrutinize continually everything that is said, especially things that feel juicy. And we should, because that's the job. But I just would say it's just 60 minutes. Had they gotten better results, had they played better defense, they win the game, and we're not having that conversation. But to me, I think, you know, McDaniels is not on an island by any stretch, but I would think it would be stupid if the Patriots start toe-tapping about, hey, Josh, where are the results with this kid? They're not good. They don't have a lot of depth and talent. Their offensive line played better than expected. They're not in a position to toe-tap. That's where I get back to the panic versus urgency. Be urgent all you want, but don't panic.
You know, you mentioned Christian Gonzalez a little bit earlier. He is their best player, but we're going on about 6 weeks without seeing him. Have you heard anything on that front? And is it one of those things where if we don't see him at practice tomorrow, are we already starting to rule out week two?
Oh, definitely. If he's not at practice tomorrow and can't run around, you can't expect a guy to go with no practices and then run around in Miami and launch yourself at Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. So to me, yeah, it's Jaylen Waddle. Yeah, it definitely would be a concern. I mean, does the guy need surgery? Should he have had surgery out of the chutes? We don't know if there was a setback that was avoided. We don't know if he aggravated it during rehab. We don't know if it was a ninth, you know, grade 9 tear. We know nothing. So as a result, you just sit there and say, does the kid need a hamstring transplant? I mean, this is a long time for a strained hamstring.
Would you give him one of yours, Keith? You could have one of mine.
No, I need these.
Oh, you need both?
Yeah. I run around and play soccer with the girls. I can't be messing around
with
that.
If it gets him out there this weekend, I'd give him one of mine. I want to circle back to Drake for a moment because we need to get this week's Drake take from Tom E. Curran, presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. Now, Curran, I know you were quite high on J.J. McCarthy in his draft year. We've spent some time today talking about the 2024 draft class. You get to pick. You get Drake May or you get J.J. McCarthy. Who are you taking?
I would still take J.J. McCarthy. He's as fast, if not faster. His arm is just as strong as Drake May's, even though he could use a little bit more touch. I really, really, really like his personality and command as a leader and his ability to articulate things. I think he's a good player. Not that Drake May is not, but I think that J.J. McCarthy is a more polished player at this juncture, and you saw it at Michigan, than Drake May was coming out from a 7-4 North Carolina team where he had a lot of fundamental things to clean up.
Huge fourth quarter for McCarthy last night in that win. Speaking of draft
picks.
He's
all moxie.
He is. He's full of it.
Look, there was some moxie.
He's got the eye black all over his cheeks. Yeah. He's full of it. What did you think of Will Campbell's NFL debut?
Good. He played good. Then he didn't. he got hosed on the sacks. Both of the sacks he got hosed on. May saw some traffic around his feet that came from the interior, and Campbell had his area blocked up, and May wandered into that sack. Better off had May retreated a little bit and moved to his left, but I think I have yet to see Drake May move to his left. But that's probably what he should have done, and there wouldn't have been that initial sack. And, yeah, he definitely got beat on the inside move, but not to the level of the disaster 9-yard strip sack when the ball falls out of the kid's hand. So that wasn't great, but worse with the false starts. That's idiocy. That's just horrendous, turning a 4th-and-5 into a 4th-and-10, which, again, let's just hit that for a second. Because we've had so many people get caught up in these coaching decisions to punt or not punt as if they're clear as a bell. And to me, a lot of them are 55-45. I had no problem with their punting. I had a problem with a 63-foot punt from Bryce Barringer. So that's okay. Coaches put it in the hands of the players. Player F's up. Then you have 3rd-and-20. Maybe you shouldn't have blitzed. But still, you should be able, Carlton Davis, to stop a 3rd-and-20 pass and not give up 25. So the decision from what happened or should have happened was sound. What actually happened, thanks to the players, was poorly carried out. So to me, you know, I think that was an interesting juncture, too. I just went from Will Campbell to the coaching decision.
No, well, how about that? Well, but it's a good segue because I wanted to ask you about Terrell Williams. Your latest is up now at NBC Sports Boston, assessing what's fixable from the Patriots' sloppy showing against the Raiders. They give up a ton of big plays to Geno Smith in the passing game. Geno shredded him for the second year in a row. You asked about the approach of Terrell Williams, who we really don't know a lot about in his first year as defensive coordinator, not only with the Patriots, but in his life. They blitzed a ton. It was a lot of boom or bust on defense. Do you think they go back to the drawing board on that approach? How did you view that approach week one? I'm curious your thoughts on Terrell Williams' first game as D coordinator.
I bet they're going to stick with that. And I give – look, if you're going to swing for the fences, swing for the fences. That's a home run strikeout approach. And they can point to the scoreboard and say, you should be able to score more than 20 points in the NFL if you have – the third overall pick and a really good offensive coordinator, and you put up the yards that the Patriots did. You should get more than a touchdown and two field goals. So their approach was defensible, especially since it created four sacks, which was far exceeds the general output in any game last year, except for the nine sacks against Justin Fields. but I look at this approach and say it's Russian roulette. And which way do you go? Are you blitzing because you don't think that you can hold up in man long enough? Are you blitzing because you think that you're going to speed people up and create turnovers? Is it a byproduct of not having Gonzalez? Is it just the way it's going to be week in and week out? But that was – it's got to be embarrassing to go into halftime having allowed the number of 20-plus yard plays that they had, and then to come out and actually be worse in the second half in terms of big plays yielded. And that's gotten very little scrutiny because the end result was a 13-point output by the offense, but it bears watching.
What was your take on the Steph Diggs usage? He was targeted certainly a decent amount, at least for the percentages of times that he was out there. Is this a, hey, he's coming back from an injury, or maybe he's trying to figure out the playbook, a combination of both? Why do you think, I think he finished fourth on the receiver depth chart in snaps?
Probably a little bit of both. Mostly, I think, though, that at this juncture, you know, when you're in a three-receiver set, you might end up, you know, looking at, well, Diggs should be out there in a three-receiver set. I just think Booty's better than him right now. They don't necessarily play the exact same position, but you're going to have Booty, Mac Hollins, and DeMario Douglas oftentimes in that three-receiver set. Not that Diggs shouldn't be out there, and I thought that he was eased in well and played well, but I think he's still getting used to the water a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Before we let you go, there was a little, well, a heavily covered comment from Bill Belichick over the weekend where he said he wasn't allowed in the Patriots facility. Mike Vrabel answered that question yesterday on Greg's show. From what you've heard, is there anything to Bill saying he's not allowed at the Patriots facility?
No. I think that he more said, I'm not welcome there.
I'm sorry, welcome is the right word. Yeah, not allowed is too strong. But do you agree with that characterization?
No. I don't. He was welcomed by 70,000 fans last year at Tom Brady's retirement ceremony. And a day before Bill said that, Kraft had told Dan Roach at WBZ that they're going to put a statue up of him once he retires. No, it's gaslighting of the highest order. And a bunch of people walk away and go, wow, I guess they don't want him up there, huh? That's not the case. They just didn't want you to coach anymore up here.
Speaking of returns, last thing for me, Jabril Peppers signing with the Steelers. So Patriots' next home game, Peppers will be back in town. Do you think he'll have much to say, or do you think he'll just be pretty quiet about it?
He's a very good talker. Mm-hmm. He's a smart guy, and he's a prideful guy. So, I mean, we'd get a day out of that, wouldn't we?
Yeah, oh, sure,
yeah,
sure would.
Yeah, we're kind of fingers crossed well,
fingers
for him.
Crossed.
We are, yeah.
They're waiting on it. Yeah.
Fingers crossed if you're on the radio.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you get Tommy Curran on the radio every Tuesday at high noon. You can catch him on Thursdays on WEEI afternoons all over NBC Sports Boston. Quick slants tonight. So check it out. You can follow him
on
Twitter.
No.
Oh, no quick slants
tonight. Thursday quick slants now.
Oh,
Thursday
wait.
Quick slants.
Oh, so is that new this year?
Get your calendar figured out, Jones.
Thursday quick slants. My mistake.
Tom Curran's Patriots Talk podcast will be on at 6.
Oh, well, there you go.
There it is.
Regardless, you're getting some Tommy Curran on NBC Sports Boston. Check that out tonight. Check out Quick Slants on Thursday, and check out Tom next week when we talk to him at high noon. We appreciate it, Tom.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, Tom E. Curran joining us here on WEEI. Yeah, he's some interesting stuff there on Vrabel and McDaniels, even more so yep. than McDaniels and Drake May. He's pretty, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he's taking J.J. McCarthy over Drake May.
Yeah. He's definitely of the, this team isn't very good.
Dumping on the mechanics. Yeah, he says they're not very good, but then I know he picked him for 8 wins, so like they're better than what they showed, I think,
yeah.
against the Raiders. So we can dig in to some of what Curran said there. Some interesting stuff, specifically on McDaniels and Vrabel. We can get back into Drake May and Josh McDaniels, that marriage.
It's Boomer and Geo, mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
My job is to try to get us to a championship. That's all I care about. Because remember, when they fired Tibbs, what they said in their PR statement that they put out, and that was, we're all about championships, and I'm paraphrasing. We want to win a championship, and the reason we essentially fired the coach is we don't think he can get us there.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is there anything with Drake? Is there any chance you feel like there might be too much on his plate right now? You talked about him maybe wanting to play perfect or maybe look tentative.
Well, again, I think we have to evaluate that. We have to find out, is there something there, or we just got to figure out what our guys do best and do that. And, because if you do that, right, then you have to be really good, as opposed to trying to scheme or get into the right situation. Again, we just make sure that we're giving them answers. But trying not to give them too much. I think that's always the balance and the fine line.
How was Mike Vrabel yesterday? Interesting question from Phil Perry. Oh, hey, by the way, Mike, just out of the blue. Yeah. Is there too much on Drake's plate?
Yeah, too small a plate, too big a plate, too much stuff on the plate, stuff falling off the plate. Is he able to have a good meal?
And Vrabel goes, yeah, I don't know. Geez, we got to evaluate that.
Good question, Phil, who I hate. Who I've made fun of publicly for going to a bad university, even though you went to a better university than me.
I am not taking a shot at Phil. I think Phil hears stuff and is a good reporter.
No, it's a good question.
And I don't think it was a Fed question or he's planted anything. Like, I'm not suggesting that. I think he heard something. He asked Vrabel. Vrabel went with it. And I would couple that with our interview with Tommy Curran just now. If you missed any of it, it's worth a listen. Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. Free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You can listen on the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps as well. My whole read on, well, let's start with what's your whole read on Curran and the marriage of Vrabel, McDaniels, May?
I think there is a lot of, finger pointing is too strong, but a little bit of like a
side eye.
Yeah, side eye, kind of like all figuring each other out right now, which I don't think is too strange considering you're the only one that was inherited as the second-year quarterback, right? Like, so you think about that. So, like, the youngest guy in the group, the guy with the least amount of NFL experience, was on the team last year. In comes a new head coach who didn't pick his coordinator. So I think it's a pretty unique situation, I should say, that they're stepping into. It's not unique that they're still trying to figure each other out.
No.
And so I think after the first game where they score one touchdown, they have 13 total points, and they're like, hey, is the quarterback being asked to do too much? I think Mike Vrabel, who's maybe not 100% like on board with everything that Josh McDaniels is doing with this offense and everything else, Robert Kraft, we assume, told him, you're hiring McDaniels, and he's going to be the offensive guy. Vrabel did spend a lot of time in training camp watching the offense, being around the offense, and he even told everybody, I'm doing it so I can learn the offense, so I can help coach it. And the results haven't been great, right, in the preseason. Not that we saw them a whole lot, but they weren't great. And then week one, they weren't great. And so for him to sort of entertain that question the way that he did, I think he has some questions for his offensive coordinator as much, if not more, than his quarterback.
So I think you're right to say they're all kind of sizing each other up and giving the side eye, and they lost a game. And, you know, Vrabel had a – not even Vrabel. Actually, Ellis told us this yesterday, but Vrabel said something similar after the game where, like, this is where our leaders are important. It's like, oh, so are you guys – you guys are already having trouble with leadership, and Ellis like almost immediately corrected it, and he's like, no, our leaders are good.
It's great. Yeah, I love
but
them.
It's like, how do you come out of a game, a loss, and be like, yeah, this is where our leaders are important? It's like, okay. So like already I'm starting to wonder about that. But side topic. I think you're right to say they're all sizing each other up and giving each other side eye, and you lost a game, and they shouldn't panic, but there should be a little bit of desperation there to get things right and get a win against what looks to be a reeling Miami Dolphins team. Mm-hmm. So I think you're right to look at all three. Just reading between the lines with Curran, who's covered the Patriots for a long time. Mm-hmm. Josh McDaniels was here for a long time in various stints. My read, and Curran didn't say this, but my read on it is Vrabel and McDaniels right now are already spitting at each other a little bit. And that's what I think is going on. That's why Vrabel says, yeah, we got to evaluate that. And Curran referenced it a couple of different times. Oh, the audibles, and you know, sometimes we just got to go with a look and not get out of it just because they show us something. I think they're already spitting at each other a little bit, and that makes sense. They didn't pick each other.
No.
McDaniels didn't pick him. Yeah. He couldn't get a job anywhere else. And Vrabel didn't pick McDaniels.
No.
And by the way, Vrabel has feuded with offensive coordinators before. He churns them out left and right.
He had 4 in 6 years in
Tennessee. So I double-checked this in the last break. So McVay is now in Green Bay. Downing is here.
No, Matt LaFleur.
I'm sorry, LaFleur. McVay,
yeah.
Jesus. He went to...
Same idea.
No, he went with McVay.
Yeah.
Or was a McVay guy, or was that his brother? I forget now.
I think they both were with McVay. They're all in that Commanders... Or they're all in that Redskins graphic that they always show.
Yeah,
where it's like McVay,
or they're all
Shanahan, McDaniel. Cubs. Yeah, yeah.
So, sorry. So, he's in Green Bay. Downing is back here as a wide receiver coach. Arthur Smith is a play caller after being a failed head coach.
Yep.
He's in Pittsburgh now. Mm-hmm. And who's the other one that I'm missing that I just looked it up? He was their OC the last year there with Vrabel. It was 4 different OCs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think it's out of character for Vrabel to feud with his offensive coordinator either. He's churned through him. So that's what I think is going on. I think they're
Tim Kelly.
Thank you. I think they're already all looking at each other sideways, and specifically those two. The most accomplished two are kind of looking at it like, well, I didn't want you and you didn't want me, and now how's it going?
Yeah, and then the other part of it, too, is at some point, and I'm not saying it's here yet, but I wonder if McDaniels and Vrabel, even if they don't see eye to eye on everything, at some point, like, do they view Drake May the same? Like, are they like, hey, you know, we're wasting a great quarterback here, or we're not getting the most out of a great quarterback, or are they like, well, like, how great is he? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know how they feel about him, because this is the first time they've had a chance to be with
him. If you ask them what we ask Curran.
Yeah, right, exactly.
J.J. McCarthy or Drake May, are they both definitely taking May?
I don't know.
I mean, I would. But I don't know is the right answer.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, Vrabel wouldn't take a Michigan guy.
Good point.
He wouldn't take him. So
good point.
He probably would take May.
617-779-7937. Rob is in Cleveland on Drake May. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a kind of a bad combination. I don't think it's necessarily McDaniels or Drake May, but the combination of the two. Josh has been most successful with guys in the past like Brady and even Mac Jones, pre-snap eval, adjustments to the line, progressions, that type of thing. Jones had to do it because he had a weak arm. Drake May's more of a big arm athletic type of guy, and people that have been in Josh McDaniels' system in the past like that are Derek Carr, Jay Cutler. They failed miserably with McDaniels. It might just be a bad marriage of the two. I'll let you guys talk.
Okay.
Brady's such an outlier, but not an outlier, but Brady's just like, it's hard to compare him to anybody else, but I get to caller's point. Like, Mac Jones runs it a little bit differently, and so maybe Mac Jones' best thing was his head, which I don't even know if it's true, but it's definitely probably better than his, like, physical tools.
Yeah.
And he was able to figure that part up. I mean, think about him going from Nick Saban with, I forget who his coordinator was. He had Sarkisian. I forget who his coordinator was.
He had Sarkisian, and then remember there was, like, a brief, he never played for O'Brien, but there was, like, a brief crossover
but
with
that
O'Brien.
But that literally was, like, an NFL team.
Yeah.
And so, like, you're on an NFL team with NFL caliber coaches and players, and then you just get brought up, and you're able to sort of go right from there to there, whereas if Drake May is a little bit more of, like, an unfinished product, like, a guy like Brian Daboll did so well with Josh Allen. And Josh Allen coming out of Wyoming wasn't the first, second, or third quarterback even in that draft class. And so he kind of molded him, got the most out of him. Whereas Drake May came in, North Carolina, a little bit raw, didn't have the starts, as Curran points out, as a guy like Daniels or Nix did. And you maybe need to coach that up a little bit more. Last year, didn't really get a lot of favors with the coaches that he had here. So now you are kind of, you're almost starting over a bit.
Okay. We're going to get into the 2024 draft class coming up in just a bit because McCarthy. And I'm not a big fan of J.J. McCarthy.
No. And if you shut the game off after three quarters, you wouldn't have been either.
You wouldn't even know what we're talking about. But just he was great down the stretch. And he did something already that Drake May's never done, which is lead a come-from-behind win. He's already won in as many starts as Drake May. He's won as many games as May has won. So I'm not a big believer in J.J. McCarthy. But after a game, you got to give it to him. Mm-hmm. He's got a better play caller. He's got better weapons around him. But give that to him last night. So we'll reevaluate the 2024 class and where Drake May fits in. I think we'd all put him below Jaden Daniels, but where does he fit? Meanwhile, Jabril Peppers is signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers. You're going to see him in week 3. One other minor Patriots note, I don't know if you saw this earlier this hour, Keith. We were talking to Curran. The Falcons are signing Parker Romo. John Parker Romo?
Well, he dropped the John.
Oh, it's out
now? He's now just Parker Romo.
Okay. He's on the practice squad.
Yeah.
That's after Younghoe Koo missed a potential game-tying kick in Falcons and Bucks.
Uh-huh.
And the Patriots cut the guy who won the kicking competition and now maybe worming his way into the Atlanta kicking competition. And Borregales already missed a kick last week.
Yeah, I don't have any confidence in Borregales. I have less confidence in Borregales than I do McDaniels, May, Vrabel, the whole thing. Like, it's lower on the list. We obviously didn't talk a ton about it during camp, but we brought it up from time to time.
Yeah, we'd see those guys on the usually update the numbers each day, if nothing else.
But the most confident prediction I had for the season was they were going to lose a game because of a missed kick. And they didn't lose the game on Sunday because of a missed kick, but a missed kick was a big factor.
Oh, it was in there.
It was in there.
It was.
And it was like right off the rip. Here's a guy, rookie. He has an opportunity to get 3 points, get a little bit of positive momentum for the team, and he misses. So you're like, oh, boy. And so now this game coming up, like they're gonna play a lot of close games. The NFL plays a lot of close games. The Patriots don't have a ton of talent to really blow people out. They play a lot of bad teams, so I don't think they're going to get blown out. So you're going to bring it down to this six-round kicker who probably didn't even win the battle in camp. How much confidence
do you
have?
Arch told me it was a fierce kicking battle during the broadcast.
It was not. Arch was wrong. Arch was
no.
He was fed some lies there.
A bill of goods.
Sorry,
is,
Arch.
Is what he was fed. 617-779-7937. We'll get to your feedback coming up. Again, 2024 draft class, we'll get to that. Grab bag, clip du jour, all that good stuff. But Tuesday, 1245, means it's time for the madness. Kiefer Madness, next.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, you know, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Kiefer, I think it is. Rich Kiefer.
Who is that?
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now?
It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Kiefer?
Where is he?
Where's Kiefer?
Where is Kiefer?
Hey, Kiefer, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Kiefer's a nice guy.
Kiefer's a nice guy.
Okay.
Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness on WEEI.
I bring it.
He's partially nude, rude, and crude.
NBC 10's Sam Reed shows us something naughty but good.
Are there guys who kick with both legs?
Send me naked pictures
of you.
Oh
my gosh.
Yeah.
Naughty but good. That guy was really having a day. All right, it's Kiefer Madness on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. We have a story from Oregon, going to Pac-12
whereabouts?
Country.
Whereabouts in Oregon?
Great question. I can get you that answer.
You know, the wife spent time in Eugene.
She did.
The U of O.
She
yep.
did. Yeah, this yeah. is an Oregon man.
Brag,
thank you. I wanted to get that in there, yep.
Clackamas County.
Ooh.
Any idea?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
All right.
Probably east of Oregon.
I thought Florida had the market
corridor. All the counties?
Oh, good boy. Yeah, a lot of county talk down there. Yeah,
they love their counties.
Yep.
But no, this is a strange one, and we'll find out what happened.
A disturbing story out of Clackamas County this morning.
Disturbing story out of Clackamas County. I know that's a kind of a wide net, but do you want to guess?
A disturbing story?
That's right.
Let's go with more foot stuff. I feel like we're in the foot vein.
We did have a really good foot story last week.
Maybe a little disturbing Tootsie Talk here.
Foot stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not bad.
Yeah, foot
it
stuff.
Could be in that wheelhouse.
Foot stuff on the brain after last week. Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah.
A disturbing story out of Clackamas County this morning where a man is accused of living in the crawl space of someone's home.
I'll give you partial credit.
Yeah.
The guy has feet. So I'll give you partial credit.
He got there somehow.
Living in a crawl space.
Yeah.
The old living in a crawl space. You ever seen the movie Parasite?
No.
It won Best Picture, Jones.
Spoiler alert for Hunter Henry? I'm sorry.
No.
Surprise meter?
No, you're in on it the whole time. Oh, okay. Surprise that they won?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Or I'm trying to think. People Under the Stairs? You ever see that one in the 90s?
No.
People are living inside the house. Like inside the house.
Okay.
The latest Invisible Man? Somebody was living in the house.
Good one, Nick. This happened. This guy was clearly inspired by
the
many
invisible
films.
Guy need to be in the crawl space, or could he just go wherever he wanted? He's invisible.
He was in the attic.
He just go wherever you want.
Yeah, you could. This one, they actually had like technology.
Ah.
Like they had a suit that could make you invisible.
Which is famously a superpower you would choose.
Which, trust me, you can't find it. I looked everywhere for this suit. They don't sell this suit. I was all over Amazon. I was on the dark web. Like, where's this invisible suit? I need it for a project.
Temu. Everywhere. Just
look this badly. Don't do this to me.
County this morning where a man is accused of living in the crawl space of someone's home. Clackamas County deputies were called to a condo complex on Southeast Old Town Court near Happy Valley late Wednesday morning.
This is so
the
specific.
County, the address, so, the street.
The county twice.
We're 10 seconds into the story, and they've rapid-fired the county, the address, the streets that it's near.
We've geolocated everything we need to at this point.
You're like, okay, what is happening in the story? You don't just tell me where it is.
On Southeast Old Town Court near Happy Valley late Wednesday morning.
A lot of sunlight there. Faces northeast.
You know, the old restaurant, the bowling alley, it's kind of near that. Like, it's kind of like a soft left. You kind of go by it.
There's a barn. Go past that.
You've gone too far.
Yeah.
You see the barn, you've gone way too far.
On Southeast Old Town Court near Happy Valley late Wednesday morning.
Great.
They say the owner of one of the spaces noticed activity in their crawl space. They told.
Okay.
That was my nickname in high school.
If I had to guess on the activity.
Yeah, what was the activity in the crawl space?
I don't know that I could say it on the air, but okay. There's some activity in the crawl space.
Yeah.
It's like when Dennis and Dee went under the boardwalk on the Jersey Shore.
True.
Something like that.
There are no laws in the crawl space.
I'm going to
Okay, yeah, all right.
All right, President.
They say the owner of one of the spaces noticed activity in their crawl space. They told deputies they heard strange noises in the past and saw light.
Oh, God.
Strange noises in the crawl space.
All right.
That would do it.
That is a new movie.
I would call somebody. Yeah.
Noises in the crawl space.
Yeah, it could be coming to Netflix any day now.
Yeah.
They told deputies they heard strange noises in the past and saw light coming from behind their sealed crawl space door. That's when officials forced the door open and found 40-year-old Beniamin Bukur living inside.
Yeah, they got him.
Yep.
They said, hey, we got him.
They sure did.
Yep.
Light behind the sealed crawl space door.
Yep.
And there's just a 40-year-old man in there. Again, we haven't quite heard the full extent of what he's doing.
Well, not to tell you how to live your life, but if you're in somebody's house, you're living in the crawl space, right?
Yep.
You don't have to pay rent because you're kind of, you find a way in.
Maybe don't turn lights on.
Cool it with the lights.
Yeah.
If you know the people are home, maybe kill the lights. Don't make weird noises. It just kind of like.
Right.
See it out. They go to work. Then you do whatever you want.
Maybe keep it to yourself in there. Whatever's going on.
Flick the lights on.
Yeah.
Make all noises you want. But as soon as they come back home, cool it.
Right.
Cool it. You're going to blow up your spot.
Beniamin Bukur living inside with a bed, lights, and TVs all powered by the condo's electricity.
Right. That TV is definitely excessive.
You brought a TV in
there.
I got to watch my stories.
Laughing at Seinfeld?
Yeah. You just watch an old Seinfeld. There's got Pluto. Pluto's free.
Get
a TV in there. You hook up to the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Like, who's watching Pluto right now?
Yeah, there's a good King of Queens on right now.
He's loving it.
Yeah.
Authorities believe he'd been there for quite some time. They also found a pipe with white residue, which they say tested positive for meth.
Mm. Yeah, that
tracks.
Okay, yeah, now we're getting there.
Yeah. Okay.
That would excuse the noises, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know about the TV, but.
The man was charged with burglary and drug possession. He's being held on a $75,000 bond.
Okay, so there you go.
If someone's in the crawl space in your home.
Yeah. I don't think they can fit. I don't even know if I have a
smoking
crawl space.
Meth, watching TV.
Yeah.
At a certain point in time, it's on you that you haven't noticed this.
Yeah.
Right?
Inside of it, meth.
I don't want to victim blame.
No, we're not doing that,
but
obviously.
At some point.
Yeah.
Shouldn't you notice someone's living in there watching TV? Smoking meth.
Yeah.
I would think.
I would think so, too.
I'm on crack.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, but that is it's an odd one. It's happened in a lot of films. You can get in there, and you probably could have gotten away with it.
Yeah, just
but
mute,
no.
Mute the TV.
Mute the TV.
Yeah.
Put the subtitles on. I do it when the kids are asleep. Yeah, put the subtitles sometimes.
I hate the subtitles.
I know. I'm so used to it now.
Maybe that's what's going on. I'm trying to read the subtitles. What's that saying?
What is it? Huh?
What? I'm lost.
Yeah, not
what's
good.
What's going on?
Not good. But he has full electricity and, like, outlets in there? How do you get a TV in there?
Yeah, I guess in a crawl space. Maybe they hook those up these
days.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Oh, Barbarian, another crawl space movie.
Oh yes, good one. Yeah. Oh, they're popular.
Yeah, Mount Rushmore,
the crawl space movies.
Barbarian, Parasite, People Under the Stairs. And what was the other one you said, Nick?
I said Invisible Man.
Invisible Man. Ah, get that in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Crawl space movies.
That's a good
Mount
Rushmore.
The next dork podcast right there. Crawl space movies.
All right.
Not bad. There's also a movie called Crawl Space.
Oh, good.
Yeah, a little on the nose.
I feel like I didn't even need to bring this up today. It's clearly an inside job. Like, this guy clearly works.
He knows the people.
With all these condos, I'm pretty sure he's doing some work there. Mm-hmm. So that's a clear inside job, I'd say.
Yeah. The definition.
Hence the access. Yeah. But that's the madness every Tuesday, most Thursdays, here on Jones and Keith. Let's circle back to the 2024 draft class, although I did notice someone in the Twitch chat, Keith, similar to you on Twitter the other day, is already ready to look at the 2026 draft class.
Well, best
that's
available.
Not what we're doing. That's
take
not
a look.
What we're doing.
Take a look.
We're looking back at 2024. Where does Drake May fit into that class? We'll get to it next.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are off the injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.